Well, you'll get more enthusiasm from this next speaker than what I just did.
Gosh, I hope so.
She gives terrific reports, and she also speaks from her heart, and she speaks with a lot of feeling. And she's doing a great job, and it's really good for us blind people when we meet her. She has a very down-to-earth way to feel, talk to us. And so I enjoy always when we get a chance to speak with her. And here's our administrator of Ho'oponopono, Leah Griffin.
There's a fans club.
Thanks, Norm, for that really nice introduction. I appreciate it. And congratulations to all of you on your 49th annual state convention. Wow. We're about the same age. 1 year away from the big 5-0, oh boy. This is my 16th year of attending HAB state conventions. And you know, every year I really enjoy learning about the concerns of your organization, your priorities, hearing from the national and ACB representatives, hearing from our partner agencies, and getting to spend some time speaking to so many of you individually. That's my favorite part. It was our pleasure to have the Secretary of ACB and his wife visit us at Ho'opono. Was that when? I think it was Wednesday or
Thursday.
It was so nice to have both of you there, and along with the hostess with the mostess, Andre Falan, and our students, New Vision student Ailini Tualibao, I know did a great job. Yes. And I really enjoyed chatting with Ray and his wife about VR services in Chicago and in Hawaii, and how we have a lot of similarities and we have some differences, but it was really nice to get to know them. So you know the late, great David Bowie?
Yeah.
Yes. He had a song, one of his most famous songs, where he talks about change. You know the song I'm talking about?
No.
Changes.
Changes.
And she sings too.
I'll come back to it, don't worry, I'll sing again. Ho'oponopono has changed a lot. Has changed a lot. Just over the last 16 years since I've been there. And you know, mostly I think for the better, in my opinion. So much of these positive changes had to do with the leaders of your organization. I was just talking with my boss, I still call him my boss, my former boss, Dave Eveland, who was the administrator of Ho'oponopono before me. One of the greatest guys ever. And we were reminiscing about when Dave first started as administrator at Ho'oponopono in the 90s, and how one of the first things that he remembers is Philo and Warren coming up to him and saying, "Oh, you're from Iowa. You should go back to Iowa and learn more about how Iowa serves blind people and learn from that." So, but Dave took this, you know, Dave's not one too easily offended. He took this advice, which I think was very good advice. And in the year 2000, he visited the Iowa Department for the Blind there. And Philo and Warren were right. This was a really excellent model that they had in Iowa. We have some people here from Iowa, right?
Yeah.
Yes, awesome.
Seligers.
Yes, represent, all right. So they were right. You know, the Iowa model was an excellent model for how an agency and consumers can partner together to have not only excellent blindness skills training, but also an opportunity for empowerment and hope for the future with opportunities for higher level training and employment. And that's what we really wanted to do at Ho'oponopono too, to emulate that model. So thanks to you and thanks to your leaders, we got the information we needed to make those changes at Ho'oponopono. And thanks to your support, we were able to make many changes for the better. And the rest is history. And we're still continuing to do our best to improve. So today, I'd like to give you an update on how we've been doing since a year ago when I last reported to you about some changes. Yeah. You asked for it. You wanted me to say it. Okay, so our staff has changed. Our staff is always changing and rebuilding. In the counseling section, which is supervised by Fiona McNeil, we have the VR program, the OIB, or the Older Blind Program, and the Low Vision Clinic. And we have all three of our VR counselor positions filled, thank goodness, finally. Yay. Yes. So we have the wonderful Cindy Takiguchi, who Sharon mentioned earlier. And I'm so excited to hear about this new project, this new grant and opportunity. That's terrific. We also have our newest VR counselors, our John Zamara and Sheila Wakamoto, who's here today. We're really happy to have these two new counselors on board. I know Fiona's happy too. And our older blind positions, we had six. Now we have three that are supposed to serve the program statewide. And they're doing the best that they can still. We still have Carol Mom and Carol Fujimoto on Oahu. Yes, and we have a new addition, I think since the last time I spoke to you, is Theon Suzuki, who is on the Big Island. And she's also doing a terrific job over there. And the counseling section also has a new SSA, a guy. If you hear a guy's voice when you call or you come in the door, that's Will. And we have a new office assistant, Francine. So we're really happy. I think counseling section is as full as it can be right now. Then we have the New Visions program. So that's ably led by Dean Georgia, who's here today. We are still recruiting for a technology instructor. We thought we had one, it didn't work out. So please, if you are interested in a position teaching technology in the New Visions program, we really, really need somebody good for that. So please, 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 if you're interested or you know that someone interested, talk to me, talk to Dean. We really like to have that position filled. We also have another vacant position that's been vacant for quite a while for a cane travel instructor or an orientation and mobility instructor. So we need to fill that too. Now, Kyle LaConce made a move inside, but Kyle's here today. I don't think Kat's applauding for this, but Kyle LaConce moves from a job working in the BEP, the Blind Bending Program, over to, I think what she says is her dream job now. She's working as the home ec instructor in the New Visions program. And that's because Debbie Gay, who was the PHM home ec instructor, moved over to be our Braille teacher for a change in position. So everybody there doing a great job. So right now, all of our orientation and mobility students, our cane travel students, are in the hands of Shel Kantan.
Yikes.
Yes. Oh no!
Who is just on, and it's his birthday, you guys! Happy birthday! Happy birthday! Other than that, so technology right now is being covered by Dean and maybe some volunteers also. And Gordon Takesono's still holding down the old wood shop downstairs. And Shannon Kantan is our residential counselor, doing a great job over there. And then there's our BEP program, aka the Randolph Shepherd program, aka the Blind Bending program, which is supervised by Kat Fujimoto. And yes, she's here. And I really have a lot of faith in her. She has a really challenging position, and I know she does her best every day to manage that program, which is not an always easy thing to do, but she's doing a great job, and so are her staff. She has all three vending facility specialist positions filled, and are they all here? I think they're all here today. We have Chris Kamanaha, we have Chad Hansel, we have Susan Chong, all here today. And FJ Andrew is still our most wonderful secretary, he is here today. And we've got Janice Mariah back as our account clerk, at least for temporarily anyway. So that's great. And also part of Kat's section, we still have Maylene Galisinao, who's our employment specialist. She works with VR clients to help place them into jobs, and she's been just working her butt off lately, doing a very, very good job. Especially lately getting some good Schedule A federal job placements, which is a wonderful thing. And you know, we're also still, it's part of our mission, and it's in the Hawaii administrative rules and laws that we are to do public education and outreach about blindness. And Gavin Abe and the VR counselors have been working really hard lately, especially with the DOE, because we need to do a better job of reaching out to the DOE and finding the students who we need to work with to prepare them to get ready for work. To get ready for adulthood, higher education, work, the whole thing. And we're also continuing to attend every fair we can, every exhibition we can in the community. We often bring volunteers with us to talk to people in the community, whether they're young people, kupuna, whatever, to talk about Ho'oponopono services for the blind and how we can help. We have still tried to work with eye doctors. You know, so often eye doctors, what I hear is, they don't tell people all the time about Ho'oponopono. I still don't understand why. I hear different theories about why. Is somebody out there saying they don't? They don't. I don't understand that. But we're gonna continue to try and reach out to the doctors and let them know who we are and how we can help. And you know, just because somebody can't see anymore doesn't mean you failed, doctor. And life can still continue. So please tell your patients about Ho'oponopono and please refer people to us. We are still looking for volunteers to help us spread the word. So if you're interested in the community events that we do, please let me know. And thank you to those of you who do help us out with that stuff. But we also like to get involved in giving back to the community where we live. The New Vision students, as well as graduates and other consumers in the community, we still do the Braille reading program. And yes, Maureen is a big reason why that's still going on. Where New Vision students and staff and consumers from the community, they go to read Braille books, Braille children's books to kids in the preschools and kindergarten. And there's so many reasons why that's a worthwhile project, right? So it helps our adult students practice their Braille. The kids are being read to, which we all know is a good thing. The kids can ask questions about blindness, whatever they want. And I know they come up with some doozy questions. And every question is okay. And they learn that blind people are just regular people like anyone else that just do things a little differently sometimes. And it also, you know, thank you to all of you who help with that project and also know how important Braille is for blind people and support literacy for blind people. So thank you so much for that. And you can find out more about the activities and the projects that we work on at Ho'oponopono by going to our Facebook page. We have a Facebook page. Any of you checked out our Facebook page?
No.
Yes? Okay, good. We need more. We want lots of likes. So come check out our Facebook page to find out the things that we're doing there. At the VR administration level, I couldn't ask for a better boss than Albert Perez. He's here today too. And he was downtown since student. Well.
He was a student.
So is
Dean. That's right.
I didn't know that.
Dean McRiver Esther wasn't downtown.
So you'll be hearing from Albert in a little while. You know, I just trust and respect him so much. He'll tell you more about what's happening on the national level and the federal level and things like funding and regulations, and I won't get into too much of that. So more we are, the Older Blind Program still is in a situation where we don't get enough federal funding to run that program statewide. And Ray Campbell and I were talking about this the other day too. So we get $225,000 from the federal government, which is matched by $25,000 from the state. Is that enough to run a program, pay staff salaries and benefits, and travel? Absolutely not. It's barely enough to cover a few staff salaries and administrative costs for what's supposed to be a statewide program. So, since there's not much hope for getting more money from the federal government, I mean, maybe, but I don't think it's gonna happen if Albert Chicken says no. Probably not anytime in the near future. And, you know, last year we did, through the Department of Human Services, we did put in a budget request, but that didn't make it through. But we're trying again this year, and I think we're just waiting to hear at any moment, and maybe Albert can give us an update on that when he talks. We're waiting to hear if our latest budget request through the Department of Human Services to the legislature will be approved, which will give us a little extra money for that older blind program. On the plus side, though, we have been able, thanks to donations, to restore the low vision clinic the low vision clinic had stopped altogether for a while because that is run by Older Blind Money. We cannot spend VR money on the low vision clinic unless the person going to the clinic is a VR client. And in the past, we didn't really follow that rule. We used VR money anyway, whether or not you were a VR client, and we got scoldings from the federal government, and we had to stop that. So we did get some donations that, like I said, we were able to restore Low Vision Clinic on Oahu. And you know, thanks to Albert, and thanks to the work of our staff, we were able to get about $60,000 in what's called Social Security cost reimbursement money. What that means is that when the counselors place a blind individual into employment successfully and they close their case, if that person was a Social Security recipient, that worker, we can a lot of times get a large portion of the money that we spent back. Social Security will pay us back when we place people who are on Social Security into employment. So Albert was kind enough to give us money. And we can spend that money on pretty much whatever we want. And so, of course, we want to spend that on the Older Blind Program and the Low Vision Clinic because that's where it's most needed. So that is some hopeful news anyway. And also, it should help us to be able to expand that Low Vision Clinic to the Neighbor Islands. I think they're in the process of scheduling now for the Neighbor Island Low Vision Clinics and also flying our staff up there, hopefully a little more frequently, to the Neighbor Islands so people there can be served. They've been so sadly underserved, and we're sorry for that. So speaking of placing people into employment, our VR counselors, since the last time I talked to you, have placed, I would say, over 30 people into competitive employment. So great job, VR counselors. Good job. And it's been in a variety of jobs, you know, ranging from office clerks to teachers to production workers to blind vendors to chief executives and homemakers and accountants and speech language pathologists and public relations specialists and dishwashers and all kinds of stuff, everything in between. So it's all kind of a range of jobs there. The average earnings of people at closure was about $13 per hour last year. That's an average, so there are some making a little less and some making a lot more, but that's the average. And congratulations, you guys, again, Gov, Fiona, and your counselors. You did a really good job with that. And actually, the whole Ho'oponopono team makes that possible because all of our programs are interdependent on each other. It takes a village, right? So we need the BEP staff in order to help, you know, get our people into employment. We need the new vision staff in order to help people get ready for employment. We need the everybody has to work together, so it's really a team effort. And so here's another change. You heard me mention homemakers just now. We can't do that anymore. Okay. Alba knows that. I'm sorry, Alba. In the past, what we could do is take a person in, let's say, they were not interested in an employment goal. And let's say they're under 55 and not old enough for the Older Blind Program. So they fall into this gap group where they still need skills and they still need services. We used to be able to make people homemakers and to be able to spend VR money on them and provide them extensive training and technology and things like that. That's how you did it?
Lie about their age.
So we can't do that anymore because of the new federal regulations. The final federal regulations have not come out yet, but we know that that's what it's going to say, is that you can't have a non-competitive employment person being served with VR dollars anymore. So yeah, that's junk. That's really junk. The only alternative at this point is that we need to refer people to independent living centers. So I think we have a couple here in Honolulu. I'm hearing groans from the audience. I think they're doing the best they can. In the most part, a lot of times they don't have the expertise maybe that the Ho'oponopono staff has. But that's kind of where we are right now. And believe me, in VR and in Ho'oponopono, we know the importance of homemakers. But this is another one of these changes. that we kind of just have to work with and hopefully continue to try to find other solutions. So I talked to you about the Older Blind Program a little bit. So if you're 55 or older, you do qualify for the Older Blind Program as long as you have a visual impairment. And we have those three teachers. Last year they worked with, I would say, about over 180 people statewide. So for three teachers, you can see they're working really hard. They're working with Kupuna in their homes, teaching them blindness skills so that they can be safe, so they're not cutting themselves, burning themselves, falling down, helping them to avoid hospitalizations, unnecessary institutionalization in care homes, hopefully making them independent enough to the point that if there were family members that needed to stay home and take care of them, those family members are now free to go to work themselves, which is good for the economy, and maybe the older blind person even decides they want to go back to work after receiving older blind services, and then we can make them VR clients, and then we can do more stuff. But that does happen. People a lot of times will come to us thinking, and that's why the homemaker closure was a good thing, because people would start out that way because they didn't think they could work, because they didn't understand what they were capable of as blind people. And then they figured it out, and then their confidence grew, and then they were able to do it. But anyway. And then there's, okay, so for the business enterprise program, the blind vending program, always changes and always controversy and always politics, but even with all of that, one of the most successful programs in the country. And those of you in the room who are part of the blind vending program, and I know there are many of you, including Vilo, of course, and Warren and others here, you should be proud of the work you do.
Yes, you should.
Hawaii is recognized as one of the best in the nation, you know. And that's a big deal. But yeah, it's always under scrutiny. It's always under attack. There are people nationally that maybe are with other disability groups who think, how come the blind guys get to do this and we don't, and we want in on this? And so there are always political challenges, controversies, and things going on. But we want you to know that we stand firmly, as we know that you do, in support of the Randolph Shepherd program and the priority for Randolph Shepherd in state, county, and federal agencies in Hawaii. So right now we're up to 45 licensed vendors, which is more than the last time I talked to you. Kat and her staff have gone through all the people who completed training and were able to place them in new facilities. And I understand that they're doing well, and they're being provided management services and training by Kat and her staff. And you know, many, many vendors in Hawaii do well financially, some do not, a lot are about in the middle. But as we look forward into the future for how we're going to expand our program, one of the things we also need to take a look at is, are all the sites we have now, are all the vending sites making enough to support a person as a living? I don't know. I'm hearing maybe not. But does that mean we should close them down? I don't know. Maybe we should look at how we can improve those sites first, or maybe we do have to shut some of them down. But that's a discussion that we need to have between the agency and the committee. And we'd love to also hear from you vendors who are here. So please do come to the committee meetings and make your voice heard. I expect that that's going to be a subject of ongoing discussion with the committee. So not only is Hawaii's blind vending program one of the best in the United States, but it's also pretty cool that blind vendors employ more than 300 people in Hawaii themselves. So that's a big deal. And about 20%, from what I understand, about 20% of those employed by blind vendors have visual impairments themselves. And so that's a really important thing. And a real testimony, I know Philo and Blind Vendors Ohana is a huge part of that, so thank you, Blind Vendors Ohana. I was just, on my way out of town a couple weeks ago, and I stopped in at one of the newsstands at the airport getting ready for my United flight, and who did I see there? Mr. James Gonzalez. Working there. I didn't know he worked there. And he was so cheerfully serving the customers and making Hawaii look so good. HAB member, New Visions graduate, so I was so proud and so happy to see him working there. That was a great thing. So, you know, people who are blind, especially newly blind or visually impaired, they're definitely needing to go through major changes, right, in their lives. And at Ho'oponopono, we know that everyone deals with these changes differently. It's a personal thing. It's a journey. But you know, the fine staff of the New Visions program, so proud of them. They are so passionate about helping people make that change and learn the skills and gain the confidence and move towards self-acceptance and higher education and employment, and such an important part of our program. And that program continues to attract students from American Samoa, which is Aileen, our student here today, from American Samoa. We get students from Guam, we get students from Saipan, as well as all over Hawaii. So, and we've had a bunch of graduations lately, by the way, so we have some openings now. There's no wait list. So if any of you are interested, don't be scared, come. Or if you know someone who might be interested, please have them contact us. And the training lasts about a year, and you learn blindness skills like Braille, and how to use technology, and how to get around with a cane, and go where you want to go, when you want to go, and manage your home, and more. And you learn a lot about yourself, and you raise... You surely do, Kiala, that's right. And you raise your level of self-confidence, and that's really a huge part in being able to move out into the world and achieve your goals. So just curious, how many of you in the room are New Visions graduates or students? Make noise. Love that. And let me tell you right now, all of our students are great. The bunch of students we have right now are such great people. I enjoy, one of the best parts of my job is that luckily I get to work close by to where they are. And so when I get a chance, I always try and talk story a little bit with them. And I love seeing the journey that they're taking from the beginning to the end of that process. And actually, a couple of our students right now got job offers before they even graduated.
Great.
So that's a great thing. Philo, are you raising your hand? I'm sorry. Yeah. Philo. My mic?
Where's the mic?
Who's got the running mic?
The one up here, or is there another one?
No, there's not a running mic.
I'm sorry.
Somebody walk it maybe faster.
Bobby.
It's a running mic, you can't catch it.
Are you going to tell me I'm almost close to my time?
Yes.
Don't rush
it. Yes, I am? Oh my gosh. Really?
Thank you very much. I like to tell a story about vending facility. Long time ago, people used to look down at the vending room. It was not as good as the days today. My wife and I are both blind. We both run vending facility. She's blind, I'm retarded. But, she's not blind. But, for both of us who work in the vending program, like I said, long time ago, people looked down at the vending program, including myself. Now, here's a dummy. Never even to go to college and he looked down at the vending program. Today, my wife and I own two beautiful homes. I'm not bragging, I'm just promoting the vending program. Please don't look down at it. It is a means of working. You're not cheating anybody unless you rip them off when they buy something. But, it is an honest living. You can make, like I said, my two kids went to school from the vending program. You know, we eat well. What is that?
Absolutely, Philo, you're right. It's a profession that is worthy of respect.
Yes. And that's all I wanted to do. I just want to promote this vending program. Don't look down. Go into it. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. All right, I still have 5 minutes left. I'm going to cram it into 5 minutes. Okay. speed it up, okay. As usual, right? That's why they gave me 40 minutes, I guess. I was like, how am I going to do 40? Okay, anyway. So we are committed to employment. We are committed to another huge thing for us is transition youth. And I know that we share that same commitment with you. Thank you to HAB. Thank you to the Department of Health Early Intervention workers. Thank you to the VI teachers who work so tirelessly with the kids to get them ready for us. And then we take them, and then our job is to get them ready and get them into work. So I have to mention, we did a great Haleakala hike with five transition students last June. That went really well. We had a summer employment program last year. It was kind of a low turnout, a little bit of a disappointment. But this year, we're planning one, and we already have 15 kids lined up. We're contracting with the city and county to get people, to get these kids into real-life work experiences in private and nonprofit and public agencies. They're going to get paid $10 an hour, and they're going to be expected to work hard. That during spring break, we're going to prepare them for that summer employment program by teaching them workplace readiness skills. So we're going to be doing that during the week of March 21st, coming up very soon. So that'll be a combination of working with all of the staff at Ho'oponopono and some others in learning about everything from the most basic of how do you shake hands and say hello and how do you dress for work to what is it like to work in a workplace and how do you keep a job and talk about accommodations and talk about your disability and stuff like that. So again, thank you. Thank you to all of you here. Thank you to HAB. Thank you to everyone who is involved in working together to help blind youth transition towards success in the future. So yeah, a lot of changes. One more quick thing, our building, we are almost done with the current project. The elevator is complete. The air conditioning is just about complete. Next job is the courtyard restrooms. Job just went out for bid this week. Hopefully it'll be done very soon. It's gonna be completely renovated and it's gonna be a beautiful, shiny new place. We're gonna fix up the courtyard and make the slabs look better. We're gonna fix up the auditorium and so it's not so hot in there all the time, and we're gonna fix the sound in there. We're gonna do some work downstairs, we're gonna do all kinds of stuff, and just remember, you're gonna hear it in your head, right? Are you singing that song? Changes can be a good thing, changes can be an opportunity. And that's how I really view everything that's going on from the federal government to our local budget situation and everything else. It's an opportunity, and we're going to work with it, and we're going to make things great, and we're going to continue to work in partnership with you, and I thank you all very much.